His Love Christian Fellowship is excited to share this podcast with you. We hope you enjoy this message.
And your love endures forever.
Well, that was such a good time yesterday. That was so fun. And I think it was Ruby. She saw me at the bathroom, the beautiful bathrooms, you know. Really nice bathrooms, Paul. Seriously, I almost dropped my cell phone in it, and I thought you would have a job if I did. And I wasn't sure to ever use it again either, but anyway, Ruby saw me, and she goes, "You're here. You're not worshiping. What are you doing here?" I was like, "Yeah, I do other things." She only sees me here, so I was like, "Is that all you do?" Anyway, it was such a blast, and I love watching all the kids. I think a few kids got their butts hurt like mine, so hey, don't put that on the podcast. If that's going, don't. That's off. We got to have, somebody needs to donate a mattress, because I want to do the slide again. I just want to do it on something soft. That was a fun slide. It really was. The first time I went down, my feet went down, okay. The second time, I don't know where they were at. I was like, oh my goodness. It felt like the one time I'd gone down that huge hill, and we have a dip on our huge hill. For all those that sled on our hills, they know. And that time, I couldn't move. I at least rolled off. I was a little embarrassed, so I rolled off and held my back, but and Ron prayed for me, and I put a bunch of oils on, and I'm better. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know, that wasn't too fun. Lord, I want to thank you for this beautiful family. Lord, I loved all the music yesterday, too. That was fun. I'm glad they went to the 60s and 70s. That was better. But, Lord, I thank you for all the good things. And the harmonica, I like that too. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, you just give us so many gifts in this place and so much joy. Everywhere we look, Lord, Paul and Laura with that gift of hospitality, Lord, they're just precious. And Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for love. I thank you. Well, last week I was having a struggle, and we've had a little bit of struggles off and on. I mean, facing that your husband has cancer, or that he has a pacemaker now, or, you know, that our son's moving to California. You know, all these little things in life that most people, yeah, it's no big deal. But it was overloading me. And sometimes problems overload you, and they were getting so big that all I could see was them, and I felt both of us. But I did, and the other thing was I was crying, and I didn't want Ron to see me crying because I'm like, oh, that's not good for his cancer. He doesn't need me to be down. You know, he was like, you got to be up. He's got to see you up, you know, and I wasn't up, and I couldn't get up. And so I was just really praying, and I shot a text to the leadership and said, just pray for me. I said, I just need some extra strength somehow. And the next morning, I'd had devotions. It was okay. You know, you ever have? Okay. Okay. It was okay. And then I walked down the stairs, and there was a cloud in my kitchen. And I knew an angel was there. And all of a sudden, I mean, it was just like that. I felt so grateful for everything. I mean, incredibly grateful. I had just read a story on Christian Breaking News of a woman that's got a radio program, and she encourages people with the word on that what radio program, and her 18-year-old son just committed suicide. And then I read of all of the thousands of people that have lost their homes in California. And I just seen those things too. And all of a sudden it was like, what do you think is, oh my goodness, Lord, you're so good. We have food to eat. The church bought us a juicer, by the way. Thank you, church. for those that didn't know, they did. It was like, we have a lot to do, and they just thank you. And anyway, all I could think of was things I was thankful for. And I just, that grateful angel's been with me ever since. And I'm going to tell you, it's the key to depression. It's the key to problems. It's the key. When you start having, and I thought, my kids are just going to California. They're not dead. You know, I mean, those are little things that, you know, I'm a mom. Those are things you think. And I'm like, God, I thank you. They're going seeking you. God, I thank you. And I just started being grateful for everything. Thankful that Ron got to the hospital in time to get the pacemaker so he's alive. And thankful that we're getting healthy. And thankful that he healed my back last night. And thankful. I mean, I'm thankful. And I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for your gifts. I'm thankful for your beautiful families. I'm thankful for your children. I'm thankful for this community. And so the next morning, I was sitting there, and it was just, I've been in the thankful cloud, and I said, I don't ever want you leaving me, angel. I like you, and I want you to stay. I need you. You know, gratefulness is a powerful tool from God, and it's like he brought it from heaven for me. And anyway, I was sitting there the next morning, and then I realized I love my life. I love my life, and I love my journey. I really do. I love Owen County. I do. I love that God brought us here 33 years ago. I love this county. I love the people. I love the beautiful land. I mean, I've been all over the world. There's no more beautiful. It's beautiful here. I love it. I love waking up to the beauty of our area. I love all the people, all of them. I love that 33 years ago we moved here and built and raised our family here. I love that. I love all the memories of homeschooling the kids and building our house and the awesome family times we had and times just to be with our kids. I loved the other day we were babysitting Hannah and Trent's kids, and they sit around and write songs, and they sit around and they have time to do things. They invent things with cooking, and they're always doing something. And I thought, our kids did that. I love that. I love they had time. That we weren't running all the time. I love that we had time to enjoy the moment. I'm serious. It's important. I loved that. I loved watching my kids grow up. I loved all of it. I loved my life. I loved that Ron had his own business. Now, I'm not, you know, there were struggles in all those things, but oh well. They were wonderful. I love this church body. I love all the people. I always have. You know I do. All the people that grace our doors. All of them. I think that some of them think we're real weird, and I love them too. I do. I love the new people he sends our way. And you guys are wonderful about greeting new people and bringing them in. But I love the old ones that leave us. I love them. I pray for them. I pray for them all over the place. And I remember them. I love the neighbors down the road. I love that Bobby's always got his tractor out. And when we had the grief of Bob passing away, his father, this past year. And I love our neighbors, that they're there. And they know, and one time something came up, and they know we're Christians, and they know we have a Christian family, because one time a real emergency came up, and one of them said to us, we've watched your family over the years, and we know that you have a lot of faith, and you really believe in what you say, and you walk with him. And it's like, yes, I love that our neighbors know that we love the Lord. I love that we live on a beautiful, safe road most of the time. Nathan's driving now, but it's most of the time safe. And Brandon. Brandon's not here, so oh well. I love the fun times in our lives. I loved yesterday and the great celebration. I miss our talent nights. I do. I keep thinking, oh, we need to have a talent night because everybody's so funny. And I love our celebrations. And I also love the warfare times. I do. I love the fire. I really do. I love the challenging seasons that are sad. Now, I know that's nuts, but I do. And the time of great peace that comes after. I love that they teach me and draw me and make me hungry to utterly love and trust and rely on my Savior, that I have no other trust, none. And if you can't thank Him for your hard times, then you're not yet relying on Him. I love our parents, my new one and my old ones. I love our families, all of them, who they uniquely are created to be. I love these families. I love watching these families grow. I love the generations. I love all that Jesus has done. But most of all, I love Jesus. I love you. God is love. He is love. I had done a study when I was in high school for psychology class, and I wanted to do a study on love versus hate. And, you know, it was intellectual, and I wanted to have an intellectual, you know, term paper, and I got an A on it, but I really studied hard on love versus hate. And the funny thing was, it didn't take much out of the Word, because, you know, I grew up in a, you know, Christian home and a Bible-believing church, but we just didn't read the Word. You know, that just wasn't part of it. Anyway, we knew the Bible stories. I knew about Samson. Come on. Anyway, but saying all that, the more that I studied it, I kept seeing God as love. And I was a believer. And I went, there's no way that hate has any power over love. No way. Jesus is the light of the world. And the world and the darkness of the world can never snuff it out, can never cover it. Nobody can ever cover your love. No one. When you have Jesus in you and you love people, you have more power than anybody else. When you turn the other cheek and love them when they're being hateful, you have more power than they do. Love is the power of the earth. Jesus demonstrated that power on the cross when he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive all of them. They don't know what they're doing. And the power of love smashed the little bitty devil. Smashed it. Now he's still fighting because he knows his time is short. But you guys, when you lose the weapon of love, you've lost the power. When it's about religion and what we do, and we've been reading a story about a Muslim family, and this is not a jihad family, this is a devout Muslim, and they are as devout as the Jews, trying to do all the do's and don'ts and be good people. And they're into being good people. There are people all over the world that are not Christians that want to be, quote, good people. But they don't have love. And the power of love destroys the darkness. And this young man meets love. He has all the intellectual battles. He is incredibly brilliant. But it wasn't the intellectual things. It was the encounter with love. Ron's dad sat in this church for I don't know how many years. And he knew all about Jesus. But he couldn't experience him. He still was in control. He could not experience Jesus. And right before he died, Hannah and Phyllis and I, we had an intercession for him. We got on our face and we began to cry out for his salvation. Because he used to say, I like what all you kids have. I just can't get it. And there was a stronghold of the Antichrist. And that thing was shattered. And I know Jim's saved today. But love is more powerful than hate. Love will conquer every enemy any of us ever have. I know this is crazy. I don't love cancer. I hate cancer. Jesus defeated it. Just want to say that. I love this challenge of cancer. Even this. Glorify yourself. Show yourself off this time. Because it is being eradicated for the glory of God. And Ron and I know that, and we believe it. I love the challenge in our family because it's being refined and brought through the fire for the glory of God. Our family hasn't gone the way we thought it was going to, but it's being refined. And I started thinking about, Lord, I remember years ago when I was holding Andrew, he was 6 months old. He was on my lap, and the Lord gave me this word that morning. And we wrote a song for it. Ron and I wrote a song. It was the song of our life. Now, who would want it? And yet now I love it because he's done it. And it says, I will bring you through the fire. I will test you. I'll refine you as silver is refined. I will test you as gold is tested. And then you'll call on my name. You will call on my name. I will be the name above all names, and I will be important to you, Jesus. And I will hear you. And I will answer you. And I'm going to say, you're my children. There's my son, and there's my daughter. There's my son, and there's my daughter. I will say that. And you will say, the Lord is our Father God. Hallelujah. That is a good word. So I was looking up. I thought, well, what was this fire? And, you know, people don't like these things, but it's the truth. If you love Jesus, you want to be refined like gold. Come on. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You guys have just got opportunities right now. For you know when your faith is being tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing, made perfect in God. Because you accepted the challenge, Mission Impossible, I accept it. Accept the challenge. And you said, with you, God, I can do it. Come on, let's go. Let's go. This is in 1 Peter, and he says it too. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 7. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again. Yeah, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that's kept in heaven for us, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by the power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So, be truly glad. Rejoice. There is wonderful joy, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise, character, and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Get ready to be honored if you take the assignment and glory in the struggles and the testing. You know, we say so many times, and I'll pray with people, I don't know why this is happening to me, and I'm going, he loves you. Keep going. Keep going. He's refining something. Keep going. No, there's nothing wrong with you. Your faith needs to grow. Oh, God, I don't have enough faith for that one. Oh, God, this problem's too big. Well, that was where I was at. I was feeling depressed. It was over my head. And then I saw him, and I was grateful. I thought, okay, one more journey we're going to make. One more. One more. So, your heart is an issue about this faith. Your heart is an issue. Matthew 6:21. for your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. That's a promise, guys. Your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. I was thinking about this scripture because it's the truth. Body, soul, and spirit, we're all three. We're all three. As we're seeking healing in all three. Always. Sometimes your head can make your body sick. You need healing in all three. We are body, soul, and spirit, one person. If you don't value one of these parts of you, the rest can be hurt. Did you know that? If you don't value one part in your triune being, then other parts of your body are going to be hurt. Now, I want you to hear that, because God wants us whole. John said, I pray that you will prosper even as your soul prospers. Body, soul, and spirit. I pray that you're going to prosper and do well even as your soul is whole and prospering. You are body, you are soul, and you are spirit. And if those things are not taken care of, if one of them, say that one of them is left, the rest of your body will hurt. Okay, I'm going to start with one of them. God gave the Sabbath to man. Jesus said that, to rest. God gave the Sabbath to man to rest. God knew you would need a day each week to rest. All of you. To let go, relax, have family. If you don't take advantage of it, your body, soul, and spirit will suffer, as well as your family. As well as your family. Maybe not at first, but results come. Now, there's one thing about the wisdom with age. We see results of years. Results will come. Just a minute. Okay. Work lost on this day. And there's a lot of people. Oh, I'm working on my house. I got to do this. I got to do this. Work on this day has double reward and will be multiplied later if you let it go. Challenge. Work on this day has double reward if you let it go. I think that's why Chick-fil-A does so well. I think that's why Hobby Lobby does so well. God's principle, it's just his principle. He created us to need rest. He created us to have fun. God had many feasts. I love being over in Israel. Israel is a celebration country because they have a lot of hard times. So they have lots of feasts. God instituted so many feasts so they could have fun. They got together and ate as families. They just had fun. Feasts, celebrations, rests, parties, dancing. Now I like dancing anyway, but Israel likes to dance, and man, is that fun. Get a bunch of Jewish men together and watch them dance. It is fun. I love it. Dancing, eating. He takes good care of his children. Okay, so valuing your spirit is worship. Valuing your spirit is worship. Time just to worship. Time to be with the one who feeds our spirit. Time to praise. Time to worship. Time to be grateful. Often I'm weary from work, etc., and Wednesday comes. I'm really tired, and I know you all feel that way too. But we just come and worship. Actually, I'm hungry to come and worship because I need it. We come and worship. And I go away always refreshed for the rest of the week. When we miss a week, I'm hungry. I'm just saying, feed your spirit. When we miss it, we miss it. Valuing your soul is feeding it with good things. The Word of God. powerful words, speaking them, singing them, listening to them, praying with gratefulness and thanksgiving. I loved Mother Teresa's saying, we must always be humble and pray with great gratefulness. And then remember the great body that he has allowed us to be a part of. That's her prayer. That's her motto in life. We must always be humble and pray with great gratefulness and thankful for the great body he's allowed us to be part of. He's allowed us to be part of his beautiful body all over the world. Praying with gratefulness, thanksgiving, fellowshipping with those who do this always strengthens you. Have you ever been discouraged and you just start talking to someone and they're sharing the word with you and the next thing you know, you're encouraged? That's fellowship. God does that in families. He does it in the church. Fellowship. Fellowshipping with those who do this also feeds your soul. Valuing your body. In this nation, we value our body so it looks good, mainly. Women. I don't know about men. Probably men too. Okay. Valuing your body. But that's not what it's talking about. Lord said he'll take care of the flowers of the field. Can't he make you look okay? That's what I think. Okay. Valuing your body is your health. What you do today to your body shows how much you value it. What you do today shows your body how much you value it. As we get older, we value it, and we realize we didn't do real great with it sometimes. And then we believe for repair. Then we take care of our bodies. Jesus said this body is clay. It's jars. They're temporal. We're supposed to value our bodies. I value Ron's body. I want it to live. I value your clay, all of you here. I value it. We want it to live. His soul and spirit are strong and alive. So now we're focused on this vessel. Health is extremely important to God. Value your bodies. They're a temple. Ask him what he wants you to do to value your body. And I gave one of them, you rest. You rest. If your spirit is closed off, and I'll never forget, we had a speaker come in, and I'm always amazed when speakers come in, because they'll do some kind of altar call, or they'll do something, and it was Eddie, years ago, and he asked for all of the ones who did not know that they were saved, even though they were in this church, and I'd watch them grow up with their families, or whatever the thing was, and I was amazed at the amount of people that came up, and did not know. You know, your spirit will never be full until you know. My spirit rejoices all the time, even in sorrow, because I know. I am absolutely not afraid to die. Death does not hold fear for me, because I know. Saying all that, I'm going, do you know? Ask your children, do you know? Or is it just something they're doing? You guys, we're living relationships here. We're living organisms. It's not about duty. It's about walking. Do you know? The eyes of your spirit allow revelation to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. But if your eyes are focused on other things, money, success, pleasures, and that was the scripture, for your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. And it goes on and says, the eyes of your spirit allow revelation light, this is Passion Translation, to enter into your being. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. But if your eyes are focused on other things, money, success, pleasures, what you want above him, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How deep the darkness becomes within if the light or truth can't enter. How can you worship two things? Jesus is saying this. How can you say you love me and yet you're worshiping something else? How can you say you love me and yet this is more important to you? You know, the tests that happen most of the time are, do you love me more than this one or this or your family or your husband or these situations? Do you love me more? And Jesus is saying, how can you worship two things? I love Ron with all my heart and would die for him. I would for all of you. I just know I would. But saying all that, I don't worship you. I don't worship my family. I don't worship what we have here. I worship one. And he's asking, who are we worshiping? Who are you? Jesus was saying all this. This is his words. How deep the darkness becomes within if the light of truth cannot enter. It's because you love something else. How can you worship two things at the same time? You can't. If you're struggling to follow God, it's because you're worshiping something else. I think Jesus is pretty clear. He's clear. How can you worship two things at the same time? A lot of us worship our works. What I do. I mean, there is a struggle when things don't go with your family the way you wanted. Oh, I wasn't worshiping that. Oh, I wasn't worshiping that. Then Jesus turned around and said, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Not in your business, not in your finances, not in what's going to happen in your future. Man, that's a free people. Don't worry about tomorrow. Never be worried about your life. Focused on success, goals, dreams, desires, don't worry about them. God gives to his beloved even while they sleep. Forsake your worries. Doesn't your Father already know his plans and desires? This is all from Jesus. Doesn't your Father already know his plans and desires for your life? So above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness, peace, and joy that come from it. God loves your dreams, and he loves your goals. He created you for them. But he asks for a tithe of your time. He asks for a tithe of your time. I believe Sunday's a tithe. I believe Wednesday's an offering. He asks for it. And fellowshipping with other believers. It's important to reach the world for Jesus. Go out. Touch them all. But it's important to fellowship with believers and strengthen what's within. Jesus cared about the family. There's time for worship. There's time for him. There's time for love. Make time for love. Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? Make time for love. Okay. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Come on. 60s. Was that 60s? What the world? Okay, I never do this good. Needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's about as far as I can go there. It is who we are. And it is what he wants in us. Take time for love. Love your brothers. Love your sisters. Love your moms and dads. Love your children. Love. Amen. Let's stand. How many didn't know that song? Come on. Ethan didn't know it. You are deprived. Everybody else knew that song? Okay. How many know Sherry Baby? Oh, sorry. I was in a store the other day and they're playing that. I love that song. Oh, it's Fresh Time. I was in the bathroom. Okay, I want you to open your arms as wide as you can with people around you and not knock them down. I open my heart. Repeat me. Repeat me. Repeat after me. Okay. I open my heart to love, sweet love. Jesus, it's you. I choose to make time for your love and to love others like I love you. I choose to make time to love myself so I can love others. I choose to take care of my body and do what it needs. I choose to open my spirit and worship. Thank you, Jesus. You heard us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message.